Our present meditation may be called the vocation to the apostolate. The very word vocation, adino, means call, and always implied in a vocation is an apostolate. The Latin word vocare means to call. The Latin verb mittere means to send. And the noun corresponding to the verb to send is missio. Every believer in Christ is also a call from Christ to be in turn sent by Him to share His faith with others. There is no vocation without a mission. There is no call without an apostolate. The two words, apostolate and mission, mean exactly the same thing. The one derived from the Latin, mission, the other from the Greek, apostolate, both mean the same thing. Our focus in this meditation, therefore, is on the call by Christ to the apostolate, to be sent by Christ to share. Share what? Share everything that He has given to us, and especially to share our faith with others. Having said that, I would like to focus on the special responsibility of the laity in sharing the faith. Not too many years ago, we might not have addressed ourselves to this subject, which is the underlying theme, what I want to share with you today, the duty of the laity to teach the Catholic faith. And the word is duty. But much has changed in the Catholic Church in materially affluent countries like Canada and the United States. Vocations to the religious life have dropped drastically. I don't have the figures for Canada, but I don't believe they're much different. In the United States, since the close of the Council, 1965, vocations to women's communities have dropped by 91%. Nine girls entered religious communities in 1990 to 100 in 1965. Most of the Catholic schools of the United States have been closed or sold. I'm from the Archdiocese of Detroit. One community in 1 year walked out in former Cardinal Dearden, Your Eminence, wrote in mid-spring, this coming fall, we will no longer be teaching in 31 of your parish schools. That's called the Women's Liberation Movement. In 1 year, the Archdiocese of Chicago sold 28 Catholic schools to the city of Chicago. What had been the pride of the Catholic Church in North America. Our strong, vital Catholic school system is a thing of the past. And the situation with the men is not much different. Vocations to the priesthood in the United States have dropped since 1965 by 85%. And one diocese after another, large dioceses, there may be years when there is no ordination at all. Well, not coincidentally, for the first time in the Church's canon law, the role of the laity in the apostolate of religious education is spelled out at great length and in the strongest possible language. For the first time in the Church's conciliar history, the Second Vatican Council published a lengthy decree, one of the longest, on the laity and their grave duty not merely to pray, but to become involved in teaching the Catholic faith. The responsibility of fathers and mothers given the widespread decimation of the Catholic Church in so many, what the Holy Father calls, materially superdeveloped countries. Thanks, Holy Father, I like that language. Is almost in inverse proportion. As a country becomes materially developed, its spirituality becomes underdeveloped. Finally, the modern popes, especially the present Bishop of Rome, they and he have been writing and speaking, urging and exhorting, with special emphasis, the laity to share with others their own precious heritage of the faith. I'm due to go to Rome on the 13th of this month. It was a telephone call. What time I'm leaving Detroit? 3:07 p.m. on the 13th. My second call to Rome in less than 2 months. And this is the main reason. The widespread, abysmal ignorance of the faith, especially in the young generation. My plan for this meditation is to ask and answer 3 times the one question, how? How are we, all of us, but with special emphasis on the laity, are we to become active and effective in the teaching apostolate in our day? The one question is how. The 3 answers are by knowing our Catholic faith, by living our Catholic faith, and by sharing our Catholic faith. And each one, as we realize, builds on the preceding. First then, if we're going to share, we must first know. Among the parables of Jesus Christ, there is one which is fundamental to all the rest. It occurs in the 13th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel. It is, as you remember, the parable of the sower. One sower sows all good seed. In fact, all equally good seed. But only the last of four kinds of ground produces any yield. Then Christ comes to explain the different kinds of soil. Who would remember the first kind of soil on which the seed falls and produces no yield? It is the seed falling on the pathway. And what happens? First in the parable, the birds come along. Oh, how shrewd the birds are. They know instinctively with their what kind of instinct do birds have? We have human instinct. Dogs have canine instinct. Cats have feline instinct. What kind of instinct do birds have? I think it's avine instinct. The birds. Well, bird says to himself, what's this seed lying? So they pick it up. But then, the disciples press Jesus. So what does that mean? Have the birds of the air pick it up? Then, this is for all of us. That first kind of seed falling on the pathway, they are those who, having received the Word of God, fail to understand what they had received. And so who comes along? The devil comes along and steals it from their hearts. What then is Jesus trying to tell us? He is telling us that to be a Catholic is not enough. To believe in the truth that the Church gives to its followers is not enough. We've got to understand what we believe. That's what the first condition. Quoting our Lord, these are the people who receive the Word of God, but they fail to understand it. Therefore, the devil comes along and steals the Word of God from their hearts. Unquote. This is the phenomenon of once millions of believing Catholics who no longer believe. Why not? Because in order to keep the faith, and surely in a society like ours, the most academically sophisticated culture, and here between Canada and the United States, not much choice. They are the most academically educated people in the world. So what happens? They receive the gift of faith into our minds. But unless we study nourish, deepen our grasp of the faith, what will happen? The devil will take it away from us. Nobody, my friends, but nobody loses their faith. Nobody. Know your faith. Having said this, however, and we're still on part one, remember? How we asked at the beginning, how are we to fulfill our responsibility as teachers of the faith? First, by knowing it. Having said this, we're still on the knowing. My focus here is not merely on preserving the faith, knowing it just, you might see, enough to stay alive in the faith. The focus here is being equipped to teach this faith to others. But the better I know the true faith, the better I know the historic true faith. Over the years I've taught Islam. You name the religions, Hinduism. Over the years, one of my bestsellers has been The Religions of the World. If I'm going to teach the faith to others, I better know, for example, what's the difference between being a Catholic and being a Protestant? One year I taught the theology of the sacraments. They asked me to do it at a Baptist seminary outside of Chicago. This evening I was to lecture on the sacrament of penance. The president, Dr. Robinson, sitting on class. In the middle of the lecture, he said, "Dr. Harden," that's my alias, "Dr. Harden, would you mind if I said a few words to the students?" "Go ahead." So he looked at the fellows, no women then, by the way, in the Protestant ministry, at least that denomination. He said, "Fellows, what Dr. Harden is telling you about the sacrament of penance is really true. Catholics really believe, they really believe, no matter what their past life may have been, when they go to confession, they tell their sins, and the priest then gives them absolution." And he knew, listen to this, he knew the Latin, that was when we still talked Latin. "Ego te absolvo, a peccatis tuis, in nomine Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti." When the priest says, "I absolve you," honest, I know it sounds strange to us, but no matter what a scoundrel the person may have been, they really believe, at the moment they step out of that confessional, well, it's all gone. And then he said, "How many times in counseling sinners over the years, I would tell them to trust in God's mercy. I would repeat the parable of the prodigal son. I would encourage them to pray. How I wished I could say, but I don't believe it. But how I wish I could say, I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Over the years in teaching, as I mentioned on one occasion, 6 Protestant divinity schools, 7 years of the Lutheran School of Theology. What's the difference? You're talking about knowing your Catholic faith. 2 big, mountainous difference. Another story. This time I was giving a lecture in a small hall in Chicago, an ecumenical group. When I finished my talk, a woman, there were chances for questions and comments. One woman got up and she said, forget what she called me, but she said, I'm so happy to see that you and I have the same faith. I knew these were all, practically all Protestants, so I wasn't sure whether I was being complimented or not. So I asked, lady, what religion do you profess? And she stood up and looked around. I am a Southern Baptist. I said, lady, would you mind if I asked you a few questions? Do you believe that God became man in the person of Jesus Christ? And she shouted, I do believe. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for our salvation? Again, I do believe. Do you believe that Jesus, on Easter Sunday, on the third day after his crucifixion, rose glorious from the grave? Oh, how proud she was to say, I do believe. I said, lady, before you answer the next question, pause. Where is Jesus now? So she paused. Then she asked me, don't you believe in the ascension? I said, sure, I believe in the ascension. Well, you've answered your own question. You asked me, where is Jesus now? He is where you meant. He's in heaven. I said, lady, like you, I also believe that he's in heaven. But is he only in heaven? I told you he ascended into heaven. And as the lady, now I asked you, is he only in heaven? Yes, she was getting impatient. Yes, he's only in heaven. Well, my dear Baptist friend, that's where your faith and mine differ. Like you, I believe he's in heaven. But unlike you, I believe he's also on earth. The same identical, historical Jesus. Flesh and blood, body and soul, humanity and divinity, he's on earth. You're talking about knowing your Catholic faith. Just for the record, do you know that no rational person is an unbeliever? Did you know that? No rational person is an unbeliever. In fact, we become believers before we reach the age of reason. What does belief mean? Accepting on someone else's word. Because we trust the person, but we ourselves either do not know or even cannot know. Everyone, as the expression goes, who has an ounce of reason, believes. But oh, how selective we can be in whom we believe. 14 years I taught at St. John's University in Long Island. I'd commute between Manhattan, where I lived, Long Island, what I taught, on the subway, watching sophisticated New Yorkers. Some looked like executives to me, buried in silent contemplation in the New York Times. People watching television ads. What simple, childlike faith. Have any of you heard about Will Rogers? In his day, a famous homespun philosopher. Among his sayings that I memorized is his definition of advertising. Advertising is that which makes people buy what they don't need with money they don't have. My work is academic and not pastoral. When I tell my priest friends that I've had, I think the actual count is 18 weddings in my 43 years of the priesthood, they wonder if I'm validly ordained. 18 weddings. Oh my gosh. They might have 25 or 40 in a given year. Well, that's made me more perceptive to watch the couple being married. Oh, what simple, total faith. You take, and the woman is identified here present as your lawful wife, to have and to hold in wealth and in poverty, in sickness and in health, until death do you part. He says, yes. By the way, pastors have told me, between the bride and the groom, very seldom does a bride faint during a wedding. Grooms, I'm told, quite often do. Simple, trusting faith. Know your Catholic faith. It is not only that we believe, but we know what we believe and why. And let me tell you, in an academically sophisticated nation like Canada, those who become educated, as so many Canadians do, by the time you say finish college, or more still, finish your graduate studies, unless your faith has kept pace and you're understanding what you believe, you know what's going to happen? You will discard it as a relic of your childhood. Am I clear? And the worst critic of our faith is our own mind. We don't just believe because we believe because we believe. The greatest minds in the last 2,000 years, hear it, the greatest minds of the last 2,000 years were professed Catholics. I could defend that statement to the hilt. But you better show to those with whom you deal that you're not only a bully, but you know why you believe. We go on. Love your Catholic faith. In God's providence, as we've been saying and we will keep repeating, He uses human beings as the channels of His grace to others. For our purpose, God wants us not only to know our faith. Did I say love? I should have said live. Of course, they are close together. And you won't live it unless you love it. But, pardon the mispronunciation. For our present purpose, God wants us not only to know our faith, He wants us to live it. Why? I've got three reasons. First, because the Catholic faith is ultimately a mystery. And a mystery is not something, watch it, a mystery is not something we do not understand. It is a mystery that we do not fully understand. That's the Catholic definition of to comprehend. To comprehend means to fully understand. No one but God fully understands any of the mysteries that He has revealed.